Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך, יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך, יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of the Wise Shall Understand radio broadcast. We are broadcasting live around the world from our beautiful NTEV studios in Jacksonville, Florida. My name is Jeff Greider, and I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and for the next 2 hours, I will be your radio host and Bible teacher. If you have just tuned in this evening, we're very glad that you are here with us. We have a very motivated and robust family of NTEB listeners all around the world, people in Australia and the UK and Aruba and Barbados and in almost every one of the 50 states in America and just all over the place. And I get great emails from you guys all the time saying how much this show has helped you and what a blessing that this show is to you. And I just want to say that it's an honor and a privilege to bring this show to you twice a week as the Lord provides. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing tonight. We have a really, really good show. We're going to talk about Daniel's prophecy that knowledge shall be increased and many shall run to and fro in the end times. And we're going to show just how much that knowledge has actually increased in just the last 120 years or so. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, put your comfy slippers on, and get ready for a jet ride through Bible prophecy and recent world history. And I think this is really going to be an eye-opener for you, and it's going to show you just how close that we are to the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing on this show tonight. We admit that we're just flesh, Lord, and we're humans. And we're easily pushed off to the side, and we're easily tired, and we're easily made to be murmurers and complainers. And Lord, we just ask for an extra dose of your Holy Spirit tonight. We ask you to meet with us. We ask you to take control of the proceedings, Lord, as we always ask you every Sunday and Tuesday night, that your Son, Jesus Christ, might be lifted up, that your Holy Spirit may have full sway. And, Lord, we can just lay down every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. so bravely run the race till we see Christ. You know, in that day, brothers and sisters, it will be worth it all. I promise you, the Bible promises you, that anything that you have to give up for Jesus Christ and for his glory, the Bible says you will be repaid 100-fold when you reach the other side and you reach that other shore. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last, and he's the beginning and the end. And, you know, that name Jesus bothers a lot of people. And lately I've been doing battle with the Hebrew Roots Movement cult. And let me tell you something. That group is not Jewish and that group is not Christian. The Hebrew Roots Movement cult is a dangerous group of people, and they twist the scriptures to an unbelievable degree. And if you don't know your Bible, I promise you, these people will have you tied up in knots faster than you can blink your eye. That's why you should come to our Tuesday night Bible study right here on this program. This Tuesday night, we will be talking about the Hebrew Roots cult movement. We're going to talk about what they teach and what they believe. We're going to talk about why I call them a cult. We're going to talk about how they are not Jewish. They are not Christian. And they want to steal the liberty that you and I, as believers saved by grace through faith plus nothing, they want to steal that liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a great guest on for Tuesday night for a little bit of the show. Stephanie is going to be with us, and she has a great testimony about being pulled out of the Hebrew Roots Movement cult. And so please join us here Tuesday night, and I promise you it will be a Bible study that will, like I try to make all the Bible studies, it's going to be a Bible study that's going to give you some real practical information, and it's going to help you. It's really going to help you. And it's going to deepen your faith. It's going to deepen your faith in Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed of that name. Don't be ashamed of the English version of his name. God preserve his word in English.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out, oh, it's time to call these children. The dead in Christ shall rise.
Talk a lot about Jesus and his coming again. We talk a lot about the blessed hope, and I like to memorize scripture verses with my children, and I have a surprise guest in the studio with us tonight. I have Megan and Calvin Greider on the line this evening. Megan and Calvin, are you on the line tonight? Hold on one second. I have you on mute. I got so excited I forgot to put you on. Megan and Calvin, can you hear me? Megan?
Yeah. Yeah.
There we are. You guys are live on the radio right now. Are you guys doing all right today?
Yes.
Did we have a good day in church?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Now, you've been memorizing some awesome Bible verses, and I want our radio audience to hear the Bible verses that you've recently memorized. Go ahead.
Okay. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Titus 1:2-13.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, that is awesome, Megan. Now, let me just ask you for a minute, why do you like to memorize Bible verses?
I like to memorize Bible verses so I can tell them to other people, and I can be a testimony to other people so they can know more about God.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, and I'm really proud of you because you memorize verses real good, and especially that Titus 2:13. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So I just want to say publicly that I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, is Calvin there?
Yeah.
Let me speak to Calvin for a second.
Hello?
Hey, Calvin, you're live on the radio right now. What did you guys get to do yesterday out in the street?
We went to go street preaching.
And what does that mean? When you and Megan were out on the street and Kelsey were out in the street yesterday, What actually did you guys do?
We got to pass out tracts to people that don't know the Lord, and we were hoping to get to save some people or show them to the Lord.
Amen. And how hard is it to hand out Christian tracts?
Not hard at all. After doing it for a while, it just comes a thought. I just hand it to them, and it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Now, you're how old? You're 14, right?
Yep.
And how old is Megan?
12.
Right. And how old is Kelsey?
18.
And sometimes little Aiden comes with us, too. How old is he?
6.
Right. So you're talking about people who were 6 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old, and 18 years old who can get something done for the Lord. I think that's awesome, buddy. And I also want to say, too, on the radio publicly, that I am very, very proud of the work that you guys do when you come out in the street and you tell people about Jesus. And I'm sure that the Lord is very, very pleased with what you're doing, too. I love you, buddy.
I love you, too, Dad.
All right. You guys go back to doing whatever you were doing. Be nice and quiet so that I can do the rest of the show, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I just wanted to have them on for a moment just to show you. Here you have a young man who's 14, and you have a young lady who's 12. Her older sister is 18, and their younger brother is 6 years old. And they go out in the streets, and they hand out tracts, Chick tracts and the Lucas track. And, of course, we hand out the Christian track. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, we will send you a box of 210 beautifully designed, full-color, glossy gospel tracts on thick paper, and all you have to do is just pay a couple dollars for the shipping. And I'd like to invite all of you. There's a couple hundred people listening to the show right now, and if a couple hundred people go to the Christian's Friends website right now, we will fill every single order, and you won't pay a penny for those tracts. And you can be as bold as Calvin, as Kelsey, as Megan. You can be as bold as little Aiden, who's 6 years old. There's nothing that should be stopping you from serving the Lord. Now, maybe you can't preach, right? Maybe you get shy in front of people, whatever the case may be. But all you have to do is hand out a few Christian tracts, and people practically take them out of your hands. So why don't you click on that link in the chat room or go to Christian's Friends, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-S, friends.com. And Kim and Carol Magdalene will be very, very happy to send you a free box of Christian tracts or Lucas tracts or the Christian Lucas combo pack, and you can get started serving the Lord where you live. And we ship these tracts to any point on the face of the earth. If you can receive a FedEx or a USPS package, we will ship it anywhere the mail will go. So please, go to christianfriends.com. If you've already ordered tracts, order another box, and that will motivate you even faster to go hand them out. And, you know, when you hand out gospel tracts, when you tell people about Jesus, you're giving him the glory. Enjoy this song, Kristen Lee Magdalene and her friends and family, recorded live in church, singing, Give Him the Glory.
Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon his name? He reached out his nail-pierced hand, and he lifted you. So remember where you were back then.
Take off those crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. You know, one way that you can give God the glory is you can hand out gospel tracts and tell lost and dying people about salvation in Jesus Christ. It'd be the best thing you ever did with your life, I promise you. I want to share something with you that I think is very amusing. It's called When a Fly Falls into a Cup of Coffee. When a fly falls into a cup of coffee, the Italian throws the cup, breaks it, and walks away in a fit of rage. The German carefully washes the cup, sterilizes it, and makes a new cup of coffee. The Frenchman takes out the fly, drinks the coffee. The Chinese eats the fly and throws away the coffee. The Russian drinks the coffee with the fly since it came at no extra charge. Now, the Israeli sells the coffee to the Frenchman, sells the fly to the Chinese, sells the cup to the Italian, drinks a cup of tea, and uses the extra money to invent a device that prevents flies from falling into coffee. Now, the Palestinian blames the Israeli for the fly falling into his coffee, protests the act to the United Nations as an act of aggression, takes a loan from a European Union bank to buy a new cup of coffee, uses the money to purchase explosives, and then blows up the coffee house where the Italian, Frenchman, Chinese, German, and Russian are all trying to explain to the Israeli that he should give his cup of tea to the Palestinian. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that very funny. And sadly, it's very true. You know, the Bible says this, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. And the Jews are God's chosen people. And God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 3, is still in effect today. You know what he told Abraham? In Genesis chapter 12, we read this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, the Jews are still God's chosen people. And Israel, Jerusalem in particular, is still the apple of God's eye. So I hope you pray for the Jews today. I hope you pray that they'll come to a saving knowledge of their Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, and pray for the nation of Israel. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, that's a good thing to do. And I don't know about you, but I love the Jewish people. And people tell me all the time, but don't you know, brother, that the Jews don't like you and the Jews don't like Christians? Well, you know what? That's fine, because they don't have to like me. God doesn't command the Jews to like me, but God does command me to love his chosen people, and God does command me to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I hope, it is my hope and prayer, that Jews one day will come to see Jesus as their Messiah. And I hope it's your hope and prayer too. Uh-oh, that was the wrong song.
fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. That day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
All right, if you have your King James Bible with you, please open to Daniel chapter 12. And I have what I hope will be a blessing to you tonight, and it's some practical applications from the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel is the key that unlocks the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is the Bible, and the book of Revelation is the book that unlocks Bible prophecy in the end times. Now, if you have been following for our Bible Believers Rapture to Revelation Timeline series that we started 3 weeks ago, then you already have a good background in what we're talking about tonight. For the last 3 weeks, we have been going over rightly dividing, putting everything in its proper place. We know that the entire New Testament is not written to the Christian church. There are three groups of people that God could be talking to at any one given time, at anywhere in the New Testament. He can be talking to the Jews and Israel. He can be talking to the Christian church. And he can be talking to the unsaved Gentiles. And not the whole Bible, not the whole New Testament
is written to the Christian church. There is a whole lot of Bible prophecy that has to do with the time of the end during the tribulation. Now, we have been teaching on this program for 3 years now of a pre-tribulation rapture. We believe absolutely 100% that the Bible teaches that the church of Jesus Christ will be taken out before the time of Jacob's trouble. And if somebody could please post Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And the time of Jacob's trouble has to do with Israel being judged by God one last time. And the Bible says that it will be the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's what the Bible says. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. One of the main reasons why we believe that the church does not go through the Great Tribulation, because it's not the church's tribulation. It is Israel's tribulation. It is Jacob's trouble. And Jeremiah is very specific about this. And for the last number of weeks on the Tuesday night Bible study, we've been looking at rightly dividing and understanding things like Matthew, Mark, and Luke were not written to the Christian church. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written to the Jews and to Israel to prepare them to receive a kingdom. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were not written to start a church. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. And then he went to the cross, and they had one more chance to accept the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, it looked like they were going to, but they didn't. And in Acts chapter 7, Israel rejected the Holy Spirit. They killed Stephen. And in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch is the first Gentile convert. And in Acts chapter 9, Saul becomes Paul. And then you have a Christian church. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, that's not the church. That's God preparing to give a kingdom to Israel. Okay, so in Daniel chapter 12, let's take a look at the verses. And in Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Michael is the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. He's the great prince, which represents Israel in heaven. That's who the archangel Michael is. He's the guardian angel of the nation of Israel, and he stands for Israel up in heaven. And the Bible says, and there shall be a time of trouble. What time of trouble? The time of Jacob's trouble that we just talked about. And it's a bad trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, and everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, Matthew 24 says this about that time. It says, Matthew 24, 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So Matthew 24 and Daniel 12 talk about a time of unbelievable tribulation. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the time of Israel's trouble. Now look down in Daniel 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, Daniel was given a prophecy that he really didn't quite understand. He was given a prophecy that in the end times, knowledge, human knowledge, would be increased to a very high degree. So I would like to talk to you tonight about the unbelievable explosion of knowledge that this world has seen since about 1875. Now, I want to start tonight with maybe the most well-known inventor in human history, but he certainly didn't invent the coolest stuff. But you all know his name. His name is Thomas Alva Edison. And Edison was an inventor. He was born in 1847. He began to start inventing things around 1869, about 1870. And then by the middle to late 1870s, he had fully hit his stride and was working on some amazing things. Edison started his career by fixing a machine which gave stock quotes. It was called the stock ticker. And he worked on that. He actually invented a more modern version of the stock ticker in 1870, and he began to make a lot of money from that invention. And from that point on, Edison's career as an inventor was fully established. In 1871, he married Mary Stillwell. 1874, he came up with a pretty good take on the telegraph. He came up with a way that you could send four messages over one wire at the same time. It was called the quadruplex telegraph. Now, that's a pretty cool thing. You think about that, 1874, and they go from being able to tap out messages. Edison begins to mess around with it, and he comes up with a way to send four messages at the same time. I guess he was the first multitasker, but that's an amazing invention for 1874. He didn't invent the telephone, but he did invent the carbon-resistant telephone transmitter. In 1877, he invents the phonograph, where he could make a record, and you could put a needle on a record that spun around, and you could hear it through a speaker. That's 1877. In 1879, he perfected the incandescent lamp, otherwise known as the light bulb. Now, we take it for granted that when we want light, all that we do is go into the house, we go to the wall, we flick the switch, and the light comes on. But in 1879, this was an unbelievable, revolutionary invention. Absolutely unbelievable. For the first time since Adam and Eve, people could light the inside and outside of their houses with something other than a flame that flickered. So I want you to think about that for a moment. What an unbelievable invention that the light bulb was. Now, Edison didn't invent the light bulb, but prior to him working on it, it didn't stay on for very long, and he made it possible. He made it possible. His career continued. In 1883, he discovered and experimented with the electrical discharge inside tube. Basically, it was the vacuum tube. And he went on to do amazing things. In 1888, he invented motion pictures. Did you know that? Did you know that Thomas Edison in 1888 invented the movies? And one of the first movies ever made was called The Great Train Robbery. And his career continued on and on and on, but his inventions absolutely revolutionized the world. And these things happened in the late 1800s, okay?
Daniel said that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For almost 6,000 years of human history, you had people who, when they wanted a light, they had to strike some sort of a flint or a match and light some sort of a candle or a wick. And all these incredible things happened all on the heels of each other. And as far back as I could trace this explosion, it all started in 1870. So that would be 144 years ago that the explosion of knowledge in our world began to come to the forefront. So if you're taking notes, you just might want to jot down that 1870 was a pivotal year in human history as it began to usher in the greatest explosion of inventions in world history. Now, at roughly the same time that all this is happening, they're inventing the airplane and they're inventing the automobile. Edison didn't have anything to do with those two things. But by 1903, you had commercial flight, and by 1895, you had a car that you could buy and you could get in, and you didn't have to take a horse wherever that you wanted to travel. And these inventions changed the world forever, absolutely forever. So first up was Thomas Alva Edison. But he is by far not the most exciting person that we are going to talk about tonight. The next person to talk about is a man that many, many, many people say was the real genius behind Thomas Edison. His name was Nikola Tesla. And Tesla came up with some inventions that will just put hair on the top of your head. He came up with some crazy, crazy, wild things, and I want to talk about a few of those things tonight. At the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, Tesla demonstrated that you could wirelessly transmit electricity by firing up a series of phosphorus light bulbs in a process that he called electrodynamic induction. Tesla dreamed that such technology would allow us one day to shoot power over long distances into the atmosphere, supplying distant destinations with the energy needed to live comfortably. Now, over a century later, companies like Intel and Sony are interested in applying the non-radiative energy transfer to such things as a cell phone to allow you to charge your battery without messy power cables. So we think that we live in a day and age where we're inventing all this cool stuff now, and almost everything that we use today was invented in the 1800s. The telephone, the automobile, the light bulb, the record player, the motion picture camera, and the telephone. A lot of you may not know this, but where did the computer come from? The computer came from the telephone. It was a natural outgrowth of one invention into the other. Now, Trent says that Tesla was talking with the demons. Tesla was a strange, strange guy, absolutely, and he did some crazy things, but wherever he got his information from, you know, Daniel in his prophecy, Daniel in chapter 12, verse 4, he does not say what the source of this knowledge shall be. Now, we can assume that the source of the knowledge is God, but Daniel doesn't say that. He just simply says that knowledge shall be increased.
another thing that Tesla invented. He did a lot of work in the field of X-rays. Now, there was a man by the name of Wilhelm Röntgen, who was widely credited with the discovery of X-rays in 1895, but Tesla's own experiments with the technology 8 years prior highlighted some of the inherent dangers of using radiation on human flesh. Now, the X-ray has been invaluable in helping doctors diagnose things like lung cancer and broken bones and fractures and all sorts of things of that nature. Prior to the X-ray, if a doctor wanted to see what was inside you, they had to cut you open. The X-ray made it possible for the doctors to look at hard tissue, bones, and things of that nature without having to open up the patient. The X-ray was an unbelievable invention. Tesla also invented something that he called the death ray, but it actually became the laser beam, and it was capable of generating an intense targeted beam of energy that could be used to dispose of enemy warplanes, foreign armies, or anything else that you would rather not exist. Now, Tesla never built his so-called death ray, but if you've been following the news on Now the End Begins, you know that the United States government and the Israeli government has been doing lots of experiments with laser beams and things of that nature, and they've gotten to the point now where they can knock stuff out of the sky, where they can knock out missiles as they're flying. Israel is working on something called the Iron Beam, kind of like Iron Dome, and the Iron Beam is a laser beam which will knock out enemy missiles that are attempting to fall on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and other spots in Israel. So Tesla's technology of the death ray, which he saw 120 years ago, is at the forefront of things that are being released today. And again, the laser beam to knock down missiles is not some futuristic Star Wars thing. They actually have it right now, and Israel is getting ready to roll that out. The United States is doing a lot of work with laser beams. Have a story here. It says the U.S. Navy successfully fires a laser ray gun from ship, and that technology that Tesla worked on is part of the armed forces now, and not just in our country, but in other countries around the world. So his idea of the death ray has absolutely come to pass. Tesla also did a lot of work with robotics. He imagined that in the future, a race of robots would be able to perform labor safely and effectively. In 1898, he demonstrated a radio-controlled boat, which he had invented, which many credit as being the birth of robotics. He envisioned a world filled with intelligent cars, robotic human companions, sensors, and autonomous systems. Now you flash forward to 2014, and you have companies like Google, and they have gone well past just being your friendly neighborhood search engine company. Google is rapidly becoming one of the world's largest technology companies, and not for just computer technology, but for robotic technology, for microchip technology. They just bought, Mark said that they just bought Boston Dynamics, which they did. And the main person that we're going to talk about tonight is a man by the name of Ray Kurzweil, and he is the person who coined the term singularity. Singularity is that
moment in time when the human beings and machines come together. And Ray Kurzweil believes that within 10 to 15 years, we will be at that point where machines, specifically computers, will be smarter than human beings. Now, if you don't think that they can get to that point, you're vastly mistaken. Because they are almost at that point right now. So the type of knowledge that's being released into the world system is on an unprecedented level of knowledge. And it's kind of like the Tower of Babel. You know, God said, let us go down and see what they're doing. And he said, well, we better destroy their tower because they're going to be able to figure out anything that they put their mind to. And God confused their languages, separated the people by language, and he destroyed the Tower of Babel. And we are at another moment in human history where we are building a cyber Tower of Babel. And that moment of singularity that Ray Kurzweil talks about is right around the corner where machines could possibly be in control. Getting back to Nikola Tesla, one of his craziest inventions was something that he called his earthquake machine. Now, I want you to really pay attention to this for a second. In 1898, Tesla built and deployed a small oscillating device that, when attached to his office, nearly shook the entire building down to the ground. This box that he built only weighed a few pounds. It was no bigger than a 5-pound bag of flour. And yet when he turned the machine on, it was enough of a vibration to put a 10-story building into imminent danger. The police were called. The fire trucks were called. It was an unbelievable thing that happened at his office. He quickly turned the machine off, and he realized that this little tabletop box that he had built had enough vibrating power to bring an entire 10-story building down to the ground. He was terrified by what he had invented, and Tesla said that he took a hammer to the oscillator, and he smashed it to pieces, and he destroyed all of his notes. As far as I could find, no one has ever found a record of how to build this machine, which he called the earthquake machine, but this thing was a real invention. It really did what I told you that it just did. It caused an unbelievable stir. And it was inventions like that that led some people to think and to whisper that he had been talking with spirits or with demons, because he came up with things that were so far ahead of his time, there was just no precedent for it. So I want you to think about the period in human history from 1870 to 1900. It is possibly the most prolific time for inventions in world history. And now a lot of the things that came in the 20th century, like the computer and the laser beam and the microwave and all those things, a lot of those things have their roots in the 1800s and are actually outgrowths of inventions from the 19th century. So all these things that we think about that are such unbelievable modern technology, the basis for these things were really invented and discovered in that 30-year period between 1870 and 1900. Daniel said that in the end times, in the end times, people would run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. People invented the combustion engine. They applied it to the automobile. They invented the airplane. And with the airplane and with the car, people were able to run to and fro on a level that people have never been able to do before. And within 48 years from the end of this 30-year period, the nation of Israel was reborn. I want you to think about that now. The nation of Israel was born 48 years after this 30-year period of unbelievable inventions and increase of knowledge in human history. Now, what does the turn to Matthew 24, 30, 32. Matthew 24, 32. Now, learn the parable of the fig tree, Jesus says. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the very doors, Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now I believe that the time that Daniel talks about, the time of the end, is right now. And if you think about some of these amazing inventions, humans have lived for thousands and thousands of years, traveling the same way, living the same way, lighting their homes the same way, heating their homes the same way. And then suddenly, after 5,700 years of human history, these inventions come out of nowhere. For 5,700 years, if you wanted to light something up, you had to set something on fire. If you wanted to heat your house, you had to burn something. If you wanted to travel somewhere, you either had to walk there, swim there, or take a horse there. And for 5,700 years, those things remained exactly the same way. And then all of a sudden, in 1870, out of the blue, everything changes. And it changed so fast that people talk about that time period like it was a magical, like they called Thomas Edison the Wizard of Menlo Park. They said that he could invent anything. And it was so many things were invented between 1870 and 1930 that people began to believe that we would colonize Mars, that there would be flying cars, and we would have cities that floated up in the air. And they believed that because they saw so many things being discovered and being invented. And we haven't even talked about medicine. In the 1920s, you have the advent of antibiotics, which saved people's lives on an unbelievable level. People used to die of routine infections and cuts and appendicitis and all sorts of stuff like that. And then out of nowhere, they invent antibiotics. And unbelievable advances in medicine and science and technology, transportation, financially, you have the stock market, which is it's just going out of control, and millionaires and billionaires are being formed. And human history changed forever, 1870, all the way up to our present day of 2014. Now, that brings us, that's the background for the man that I want to talk about tonight. His name is Ray Kurzweil. And he is the main head of engineering over at Google. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about a man
who is a genius on the level of Edison and Tesla, and he says that singularity will be possible by 2029. And he's not a crackpot. He's not a kook. He holds 19 honorary PhDs, and Google believes that this is the man who is going to merge the computer with the human being, and Google believes it so strongly that they are investing billions with a B, billions and billions and billions of dollars into making this happen. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Ray Kurzweil. I'm going to talk about Google, and we're going to talk about the coming merging of man and computerized machine known as singularity. Stay with us. Do not go away.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the earth come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Well, I went back home. Home was lonely for my mother. She was gone. All my family there was crying, for our home felt sad and alone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Undertaker, Undertaker, won't you please drive slow? For that lady you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by?
To rise. Google's new director of engineering thinks so. Ray Kurzweil popularized the Terminator-like moment he called singularity. When artificial intelligence overtakes human thinking. But now the man who hopes to be immortal is involved in the very same quest on behalf of the technological behemoth known as Google. Now, let's start and talk about Google for a moment. Google started out a number of years ago, and they quickly became the most popular
search engine for you to look stuff up. And the phrase, just Google it, was entered into the national vocabulary. But if you haven't investigated Google lately, they are much, much more than just a company which helps you to find things on the internet. Google is rapidly becoming the world's largest robotics and technology laboratory on the face of the earth. They have invented the driverless car, Google Glass. They organize all the results of the daily searches that are done anywhere in the world, and those results are put into a database which grows by over 1 billion visits per day. That's how popular Google.com is. 1 billion with a B visits per day. Jeanette just says they track everything. They are absolutely tracking everything. And they have formed an alliance with the United States Pentagon, and they have been buying up technology companies. They are working with the NSA. They are working with DARPA, and they are at the absolute forefront of robotics technology. And the government has acknowledged that they have positioned themselves to such a unique degree that the United States government is pouring in hundreds of millions of dollars into Google so that Google can develop this technology for them. Google CEO Larry Page has positioned Google to become an indispensable U.S. military contractor. They recently purchased Boston Dynamics, a robotics pioneer that produces amazingly human-like robots for the U.S. Defense Department. So in our country, the powers that be, whoever you want to call these powers, you want to call it the one world government, you want to call it the Illuminati, you want to call it the elite, whatever name that you want to give to the powers that run this country, they believe with all their heart and with all their pocketbook that the next big thing is going to be an army of robots, just like in the movies. And they are spending billions of dollars to make this happen. In 2012, Google hired a woman by the name of Regina Dugan, who was the former head of the Department of Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, known as DARPA. And Google has been stealing these heads of companies for the past 4 or 5 years, and they have been making the Google research arm an unbelievably inventive place. Google's creeping militarization means that Big Brother Incorporated aspires to work more closely with Big Brother government. Now, from a Christian perspective, this is a Christian show, so I want to give you the Christian perspective. What you are watching right now is you are watching what will one day be the mark of the beast being built right in front of you right now. Now, the Bible says that the Christians will be taken out of here before that day comes to pass where the Antichrist is making you take the chip or die. And the Bible teaches that we will not be here for that, absolutely. And nothing in what I'm telling you tonight changes that timeline. But isn't it awesome to know that you are watching the one world system
being created right now. Not one day someday, not one day far in the future, not, you know, 2045, 2035, 2025, not even 2015, but the one world system, which will become the mark of the beast system, is being created in front of our noses right here, right now, with the explosion of knowledge that Daniel talked about from Daniel 12, verse 4. And everywhere that you turn today, everything is being chipped. Within a few years, you won't be able to buy a toaster or a blender or a refrigerator or anything of that nature that is not microchips. And why would they care about putting microchips into your toaster? Why? Well, because if you have everything that is connected to a central system, you can turn everything on or you can turn everything off just by turning the system. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13. Look in verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the number, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So there is the mark of the beast. It controls all financial transactions. It controls all buying, and it controls all selling. And as we're starting to see, the mark of the beast is also a system. It is a one-world system of control by which the entire world is connected through technology, through computers, and you can turn anything on and you can turn anything off at the push of a button. If you have somebody who refuses to take the mark of the beast, they can't buy, they can't sell, every single device that they have that runs on electricity is now turned off. And they are completely locked out of the world system. Now, this thing is constantly in a state of refining itself. Right now, the RFID chip is smaller than the size of a grain of rice. The book of Revelation says that this mark will go in your right hand or it will go in your forehead. It is not something that will be on the outside of the skin only. It is something that will be implanted either into your forehead or into the back of your right hand. And that's what the King James Bible says that it will be, and that's what it will be. But in the meantime, they are making these RFID chips no thicker than that of a human hair. They have tattoos that are unbelievably thin that can do all these different controls, and they have apps in your smartphone where you can control the heat and the light in your house. Our church, the entire heating and cooling system is controlled through a smartphone, and that's the direction that that the entire world is headed into. So let's talk about this man, Ray Kurzweil, and he has been recently hired by Google to bring about robotic technology, and not just that, but Kurzweil believes that humans and computers will be merged by no later than 2029. So let me read to you just a few of the things that Kurzweil has worked on. He invented one of the first synthesizers for the keyboards. He invented the flatbed scanner. He invented the first computer program that could recognize a typeface. He invented the first speech synthesizer and dozens of more inventions. He is called a genius, and now he's the director of Google's engineering department. Google is paying him a lot of money to work on robotic technology. Now, Google, as we talked about before, has purchased almost every machine learning and robotics company that it can find. 2 months ago, it made headlines when it bought Boston Dynamics, and that's the firm that produces the spectacular, terrifying, lifelike military robots. It spent $3.2 billion on a smart thermostat maker called Nest Labs. And just this month, it also bought the secretive and cutting-edge British artificial intelligence startup called DeepMind for $242 million. And these are just a few of the things that Google has been snapping up. They have positioned themselves as one of the premier technology companies in the world, and they are working day and night to merge human beings with computer chips, human beings. Now, a lot of these things, like with anything else that they're working on, it will be sold as a benefit. It will not be sold as something that's going to enslave you or something that will be scary. It will be sold as something that is designed to help you. They bought that company called Nest, and Nest is a technology company that makes a smart thermostat. And what Google is planning to do, they are going to they're going to match this thermostat, which controls the heating and cooling in your house, with an RFID chip with the computer. And this is one of the many ways that the government is going to monitor you. And when these type of stories are first published, they create a stir, and everybody gets all up in arms, and everybody gets all upset. And then you know what happens? They forget about it. And then the storm passes over, and they go back to doing what they were doing, and nobody cares, and nobody's watching, and they are allowed to produce these things in secret with nobody looking over their shoulders. And you can just best believe that because of their relationship with the Pentagon and because of their relationship with DARPA and the NSA, that that these technologies that Google is working to bring about will be mandatory at some point, and they will probably be mandatory through something like Obamacare, where you won't have the option. They will just simply say that we will give you a $50 bonus credit. Now you have to go get this new thermostat because that's just the way it's going to have to be. You know, one brief side note about Obamacare. Obviously, Obamacare is not about health care. Obamacare is about government control over American citizens. And when they were able to pass the Obamacare law back in 2012, what they actually did is they proved the concept. They proved the concept
that the United States government can make you buy something. If they can make you buy one thing, they can make you buy anything. And the fact that Obamacare was passed and has not been repealed, it really hasn't even been seriously challenged. So I want you guys to get into your head the idea that we now live in a country where your government, whenever they want to, like with this smart thermostat, they're going to eventually make you put one of those into your home, and it will not be optional. You will not have a choice. And all these new technological advances, Juanita says they are trying to control us, but it's worse than that. They are controlling us. And if there's one thing that you take away from this show tonight, I want you to take away the idea that the future is no longer future. The future is happening right now. And we live in a time where science fiction has become scientific reality. And it's only a matter of 2, 3, 5 years at the most when all these inventions are going to hit a critical mass. And they're going to figure out the missing links, and they're going to discover the missing pieces. And you're going to see robots walking down the street, driving the buses, driving the taxi cabs. You're going to see robots at the fast food place. You're going to see robots at the banks. You're going to see these things everywhere that you look. You know, 20 years ago, you know, we used to have the Tuesday night Bible study 20 years ago. And it was just a group of us, and we met every Tuesday. There was about 8 or 10 of us. Now there's 900 or 1,000 of us. But 20 years ago, we had the Tuesday night Bible study, and we talk about Bible prophecy. And almost everything that we're talking about tonight, people in our Bible study said was 30, 40, 50 years away. Turns out that it was only 20 years away. You know, we used to talk about the implantable chip. Man, everybody talked about the implantable chip. When will that be invented? When will they figure that out? Well, do you know when they figured out the implantable RFID chip? It was 1 year almost to the day after 9/11 when the Twin Towers were brought down. That is when Verichip released the implantable RFID chip. Now, that's 13 years ago. And 20 years ago, people thought that that chip was 50 years into the future. Jeanette says that Google is mapping streets. They're absolutely mapping, and not just streets. What Google is doing is they are mapping every square inch of our planet. And if that sounds to you like it's an overly ambitious project, let me assure you and reassure you that Google is 100% successful in mapping every square inch of our globe. They're not done yet, but they are absolutely doing that, and they're doing it right now, and they're having no problems at all with it. Every single nation on the face of the earth is being friendly to Google. They are opening the doors for them to come into their country. Every once in a while, a nation will push back, but then they retreat from that position and allow Google to do what they want to do. Now, if you can't see a conspiracy between the NSA, DARPA, Pentagon, and Google for world domination, if you don't see that conspiracy, then you're absolutely blind, because that is exactly what's happening. Now, when you throw into that, when you throw into that mix robotic technology and the idea that the government can build an army of robots that never get tired, they have no emotions, they have no feelings, all they do is what they are told to do. And when they are told to fire upon American citizens, they won't even think about it. It won't even be a consideration in their head. They will just do as they are instructed to do. And that's the real conspiracy, why this is happening. Now, Katie has the question. She says, why the need for all this monitoring? And that's an excellent question. The reason why we are being monitored to this degree is because the Bible says that in the end of time, the Antichrist will rise and will rule the entire world. Now, when the devil inhabits the body of the Antichrist after he's assassinated, the devil will not need human technology. The devil will have supernatural technology. But the Antichrist is going to need human technology. And all this crazy stuff that you see happening right now, remember at the beginning of the show, I was telling you about all the inventions that were happening between 1870 and 1900? And how it was an unbelievable time in world history. Well, the inventions that have happened since 9/11/2001 to this very date, which is 13 years ago, are equally as mind-boggling. They are going to roll out a robot army of half-human, half-computerized machines, and artificial intelligence is absolutely what is going to run this world. And if the Lord tarries and we stick around for a couple of years, we will be the generation that will see this come to pass. Ray Kurzweil was the man who first coined the term singularity, where human beings and machines are merged together. Now, check this out. Ray Kurzweil predicted back in the 1990s, he predicted that a computer would be able to defeat a human world chess champion by 1998, okay? Now, Ray Kurzweil said that In 1990, he predicted that a computer could defeat a human being chess champion by 1998. And do you know when that happened? In 1997, IBM's Big Blue computer beat Garry Kasparov. Now, we don't think much of that now. We honestly don't. It's like big deal, human being lost to a computer. But that had never happened in modern history. A lot of scientists believe that it was not possible for a computer to think faster and predictively faster than a human being. But not only was that done in 1997, that was 17 years ago, and we've gotten much farther past that point now. We have computers that can, they are just about to the point where they can reason for themselves, where they can access so much information that they can put the answers together quicker than you and I can. The Terminator robots that we've seen and all the cyborgs and all that stuff, those things are being invented right now. In 2011, IBM had a computer called Watson, and Watson the computer went on to the game show called Jeopardy. Now, if you've never watched Jeopardy before, it involves jokes, it involves riddles, and it involves similes. And similes, jokes, and riddles are not usually things that computers do very well with. Now, for all of you guys in the chat room, I'm going to put something in here, and I want to see how fast you can figure this out, okay? IBM's computer figured this out in just a few seconds. Let's see how smart you guys are. Let's pretend that we're playing Jeopardy right now. And here's the question. A long, tiresome speech delivered by a frothy pie topping. What's the answer? Let's pretend that we're playing Jeopardy, and there's the question. A long, tiresome speech delivered by a frothy pie topping. You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You haven't figured it out. Do you know what the answer is? The answer is going to make you laugh because you're going to get it. Look at what the answer is. The answer to a long, tiresome speech delivered by a frothy pie topping is a meringue harangue. Now, how funny is that? It is a meringue harangue. But you know what's scary about that? Do you know what's scary about that? None of the human beings on that show got that answer. I want that thought to sink into your head now. Not only was the computer faster than the human beings didn't even come up with that answer. But the computer did. And that's not simply a calculation question. That's a joke, and it's a riddle. Dana says it had input from human beings. Yes, it did. But that was 3 years ago. And we are getting ready to cross the threshold now where the computers will no longer need the input from the human beings. And that's the part that I want you guys to grasp a hold of. Dana is saying it still used knowledge and it calculated the knowledge. That's right. But the computers are almost at the point now where they do not need human input. They are not quite there yet, but they are almost there right now. Now, Kurzweil says this. He says, computers are on the threshold of reading and understanding the semantic content of a language, but not quite yet at human levels. But since they can read a million times more material than human beings can, they can make up for that with quantity. Okay? They can make up for that with quantity. Now, listen to this, okay? This part's going to freak you out. That thing that I just told you about the Jeopardy question, a long, tiresome speech delivered by a frothy pie topping, is a meringue harangue. Do you know what the Watson computer had to do to get that answer? The Watson computer had to scan 200 million pages on Wikipedia to get that answer. But get this, it got that answer in just a couple of seconds. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? The Watson computer on the Jeopardy game show read 200 million web pages and found that answer in under 10 seconds. 200 million pages, and it came up with the right answer on the first try. Now, if that doesn't send a chill down your spine, you're not paying attention. Can you imagine on a game show where the clock is ticking and you tell the computer, go look for the answer, and it has to read 200 million pages and it finds the right answer the first time and beats the human beings to the point where the humans didn't even have an answer? Now, what Dana said is very true. It still had to scan websites. It still had to scan information that humans provided. But very shortly, we are going to cross that line, and the human brain is going to be matched with the technology of the computer, and the two are going to work together, just like Ray Kurzweil is working to bring to pass for Google right now. The computer can read tens of billions of pages. Now, it doesn't understand the implication of what it's reading. It's doing a kind of pattern matching. But it's able to grab the information so quickly that it can come up with the answer before a human being can. And then Kurzweil goes on to say that once the computers can read their own instructions, well, that's going to put them at the top of the heap. And eventually they'll be able to instruct themselves, just like when you raise your children. You teach them what to do, and at some point, whether they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever age that it happens to be, at some point your children understand the instructions, and they begin to become self-governing and self-policing. You know, when your kids are small, you have to change their diapers, tie their shoes. But then you teach the kid how to tie the shoe, and that's one more job that you don't have to do for them. And then you get your kids potty trained, and that's one more job you don't have to do for them. And then you teach them how to eat. That's one more job you don't have to do for them. Then you teach them how to cook. That's one more job that you don't have to do for them. And eventually, the child becomes self-governing, and the child begins to follow its own instructions. The computer is at that stage right now where it has gotten so advanced and it has gotten so smart that it only needs one more breakthrough in technology, and then the computer will no longer need human input. And that's exactly where we are living right now. We are watching the creation of the system that we call the Mark of the Beast. We are watching the creation of the tools that the one world government is going to use to control the entire world. We have completely retooled ourselves to trust in technology, to depend on technology. Every function of our business life, many of the functions of our personal life. Can you imagine trying to live your life without your smartphone? you get the email, you look up things, you make dinner reservations, you can make a bank deposit through your phone. You can monitor your blood sugar if you have diabetes. You can monitor your pacemaker if you have heart problems. The smartphones have become mini personal computers that we carry with us. And just the smartphone in the last 6 or 7 years, again, has changed our lives in a very, very dramatic way. Just like the invention of the light bulb and electricity and the car and the motion picture camera and all of these things that revolutionized the world of 120 years ago, the smartphone and the internet and computers are revolutionizing the life that we're living right now. Companies like Google and the United States Pentagon and DARPA and the NSA at the highest levels are working as hard as they possibly can to perfect a human-like robot to do their bidding. And that's going to be a scary, scary, scary time to be alive. Now, Google would not be spending the money that they're spending on all this stuff if they were not 100% sure that they could pull it off. Google has more money than they will ever be able to spend. And we've been tracking them now for 5 years. And let's just look at a couple of the headlines from Google. Here's one from January 30th, and I'll put the links into the chat room. It's kind of hard to talk and paste at the same time, but I'll do my best. This story here says, Google scientists say the age of the cyborg is here. Technology has the potential to augment, improve, and even replace every aspect of our body, from our own vital organs to our legs. And that's a field that's they're trying very, very hard to make bionic replacement parts for all the soldiers who fight in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they come back and they're missing body parts, and they are inventing bionic parts. Just remember that show from the 70s called The Bionic Man? The $6 million man and the bionic woman, well, that has become a reality now. And they are making extremely highly functioning replacement arms and replacement legs and things of that nature. Google just bought a company called NameTag, and they are working very, very hard to make a mobile database that is going to keep track of everyone in this country, and eventually everyone on the face of the earth. And they are working on that right now. Louise has to go to bed. Good night. Get a good night's sleep. Here's another headline for you. Google joins forces with the NSA and DARPA as a military contractor. And we talked about that earlier. It's a scary thing. Says here, Google files for a patent on scary-looking Mark of the Beast-style RFID throat tattoo. Why is Google so interested in a throat tattoo? Well, when you read the story, you see that the throat tattoo is a paper-thin RFID microchip, and they are getting ready to be to start implanting these things into your body. Now, I don't think that I'll ever take one of those chips. In fact, I'm quite sure that I will not. But they are working on it very, very, very hard. Here's a story that we did just a couple of days ago. technology company Cisco is putting microchips into every highway and every major city, and they are making what's called smart cities. And anytime you hear the word smart, and you know, if it's a smart pair of sneakers, or if it's a smart city or a smart car or whatever the case may be, it is something that has an RFID microchip in it. That's something that all these things will become connected, and the internet is going to connect them all. Here's something that's kind of funny and scary at the same time. How about a pair of smart pajamas that operate on a QR code that read bedtime stories to your children for you? Now, is that a little scary? I think it might be. They're putting QR codes into pajamas, and all you do is scan your kids' pajamas with a smartphone, and it reads them a bedtime story. More importantly, what they are doing is all this technology is training the minds of young people who are at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and it is getting them to become completely dependent on the machine doing something for them. And I think that a pair of pajamas for a three-year-old kid with QR codes is going way over the line. And yet, almost no one is creating a fuss about that. There's a company called iOptic that has created a contact lens that allows the wearer to view virtual high-definition screens right in front of your face. And this contact lens will make it seem like it is like you're right there, and it's going to create a cyber reality that you will live in. Okay? Now, every single one of these things that I'm talking about right now and all these links that I'm putting into the chat room, every single one of these technologies are technologies that are available right now. Not 10 years from now, not 5 years, not 2 years, not 12 months, but every single one of these things that I'm talking about are available right now. 2014, we'll see the rise of the always-on smart home. And that's an article from the Telegraph UK, and it's talking about all of the household kitchen appliances which will run on the RFID microchip, and everything will be done with tracking technology. And again, why do they care about putting chips into toasters, into blenders? Because they can control everything that way. All right, one more story here. The Pentagon's DARPA, which is their super secret research arm, they are laying a foundational framework for creating a robotic army. That is the number one priority of Google. That is the number one priority of Ray Kurzweil. And that is the number one priority of the United States Pentagon, is to create a robotic army that has no feelings, that has no emotions, that they never get tired. They will simply do what you tell them to do. And all these things will be sold to you and to me as a benefit, as a plus. They will be sold as time-saving devices. They will be sold as security measures. They will be sold in whatever way that the marketing companies have to be slick enough to sell these things to you. And let me make a prediction right here. I safely predict that these technologies, as they become available,
will be adopted at a nearly 100% rate of adoption. And even the Christians will not refuse to use this new technology. The world is not changing. The world has changed. And here in America, we still have freedom. We're doing this radio show and the government's not knocking on our door. For the time being, we still have freedom. And I want you to think about the best way to bring God the glory with the freedom and time that we still have left in this country. Something as simple as ordering a box of Christian tracts and going out just into the people that you meet in your daily life, the people that you see at the grocery store, the people you see at the gas station, the people that you pass in the mall, the people that you pass in the parking lot. Every single one of these people needs to know about Jesus Christ. Because look, our destination, if you're saved tonight, nothing can separate you from Jesus Christ. You can never lose your salvation. It can never be stolen from you. You can't be tricked out of it. It can't be touched. It's safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. But there's an entire lost world of people that you meet that if they died tonight would go to hell. And I want you to begin to get a burden for those people. I want you to begin to see the people that you pass in your everyday lives as souls that need the saving shed blood of Jesus Christ. Please go to ChristensFriends.com. Click on the links for the tracts. Order a box of tracts. I'll personally mail the box out tomorrow. And get something done for the Lord while there is still time. Because believe me when I tell you, this open window that we have to evangelize and to preach and to witness, it's a window that is rapidly closing. Get something done before it's shut tight. Thank you very much for tuning in this evening. Lord willing, we'll see you right back here Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern time for our Tuesday night Bible study about the Hebrew Roots Movement cult. Don't miss it. Good night, everybody.